Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another arousing episode of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Delogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hi. Hello.
I don't know if arousing would be a good way to describe it, because that may be overpromising.
Well, I sure as hell am going to try and make up for it.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, as usual, as you've probably been able to tell from the past few weeks, shit just kind of keeps escalating here in the U.S. Now that we've officially, Trump went and had his little trip overseas and then came back leading, blood and destruction in his wake, basically. We've also got, of course, more investigations into the Trump administration and Russia collusion. And we've also got some hijinks from our respective representatives in government. We've also got some really stupid shit, some shit that really piss you off. We've also got some happy shit, some funny shit. And, we've also got some stuff about the Wonder Woman movie, which came out recently. And of course, we'll have our trailer roundup. Mm. But before we get to any of that, we need to start off with what we've been up to this week. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Mostly the usual kind of thing. I've been watching some random shit like more Mythbusters. And I got a taste for Pinky and the Brain, but I couldn't really find any place that had it. So I ordered it from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, why not? So yeah. I'm waiting for those to show up, and hopefully I'll get those this week and be able to just enjoy how completely stupid that series was, but in the best way possible. So yeah, doing that. What else have I been up to? Well, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. Tekken 7 came out, so...
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I've been playing that since yesterday, and it's really good. It's it feels...
Like Tekken.
Well, kind of like Tekken, but kind of like a ground-level reboot of the series, if anything.
Sort of.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying that. It seems like they kind of pared back a bunch of the, superfluous systems that really were just getting in the way and gone back to something that resembles Tekken. So
feels all Tekken 5. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. The online is a mess.
Don't know. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Don't know if you've had a chance to try it, but,
I'm still on story mode.
Yeah. I'm about halfway through that myself, so I'll be getting back to that in a bit later. But yeah, online is kind of a mess. It's basically, I've 9 times out of 10, I can't get a connection. So
I'm making the right decision by doing the offline stream tonight.
Yeah, because unless you like the message, the opponent's connection was lost, you'll be seeing that a lot. Yeah, Namco needs to really fix that because there's some problems there.
Get your shit together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd think they could get it done. I mean,
so that it's together.
Yeah, it's not their first online fighting game, but
nope.
Yeah, I did manage to get one online match in. I think I have it recorded in the PS4 share, so I'll probably end up clipping that and uploading it. And of course, as you would expect, my opponent was Akuma.
There were a lot of Akumas going just all around.
Yeah. So I summarily beat the shit out of
him. Let's say a minority of them know what they're doing and the rest of them just want to try out the new character.
Yeah, this one did not know what he was doing. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with Akuma, all characters.
Yeah. And you saw my custom Asuka from earlier.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I figure may as well go with the Bullet Club.
Yep.
So, been doing that.
Apparently those shirts are actually on sale.
Oh, really?
The Tekken ones?
Yeah. I thought they were just in the in-game shop, but hell, nope. I'd buy one of those. So yeah, I've been doing that. Can't wait to get back to that. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there for my game of the year, and I'm because I accidentally bought the deluxe edition and ended up with the season pass. Now I'm hoping to see what new characters they end up adding in there. So
that wasn't your Wipeout money, I hope.
It might have been. I'll have to wait and see what I can manage. But yeah,
good luck.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, and that's still working on the site. As we've been talking about, I've got a review system going in there and going to work on getting all the reviews transferred over. So first, I got to make sure that the layout of the thing isn't completely jacked. So I got to spend some time and futz with the CSS to make it all nice and pretty. Beyond that, I think the review system is going to work out very well for us. It's very flexible. It's got a lot of options. It's just a matter of styling it to our tastes. So that's going to be fun. I am not looking forward to manually converting 400 plus posts to it on the other hand. But hey.
I am so sorry.
Well, I'm not the only one doing it. Thankfully, I'll be in there. Probably Chris will help out. Dan Reb said he would. And Teresa, if she has time, will probably help as well. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's not going to be hard. Once we decide what our new criteria is and stuff are going to be, then just transferring it over isn't going to be too difficult.
Okay.
So we got that going on. And yeah, it's a whole lot of fun stuff, manual labor. All in the lead up to E3, which I am genuinely excited for this year.
Yes.
I don't know what it is.
There's just so many good things coming together. Nintendo just launched a system. The other two are in full swing. I think Microsoft's probably going to waste too much time talking about Project Scorpio, but hopefully they dedicate enough time to games to rebound from more or less sitting out the last couple seasons.
Honestly, I don't think Microsoft talks about Scorpio very much because they let Digital Foundry basically do the whole thing for them. So they did that. I mean, I expect them to probably announce the name, the price, maybe a little overview, but I expect that they'll probably spend a lot more time talking about games and whatever.
We can hope. Hopefully they definitely need to.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're new games, not just here's Gears and Halo and Forza.
Yeah, well, we know we'll have Forza. We know we'll probably have Halo. Maybe Crackdown 3 will come back. It's been MIA for the past couple of years. That one will probably be a good one to get Scorpio for. So.
Still weird neither of those games are BC.
Yeah.
It's like I'd even play the shitty second game just to have something. Crackdown on the system right now.
I'm kind of surprised about that, but oh well. I still have the first one somewhere in a box with all the other boxes. Yeah. But yeah, that's been my week. How about you, Pat?
It's been all about streaming and getting ready for Tekken, and that's all going to start tonight. I've got Tekken 7 here. I'm actually playing it as we speak. Try and get the story mode and any potential unlocks done. And then after the podcast, like immediately after the podcast, I'll be taking my PS4 downstairs and getting in some Tekken 7 offline play with the roommate, who's also pretty damn good. I've got my brand new powered USB hub here, so we're going to be mic'd up for the stream.
Yeah.
And even with our fight sticks, so look forward to it. Yeah. I mean, it'll already be up on my channel and archive by the time the show goes up, but it should be fun.
Yeah.
And possibly there might be some Soul Calibur 2 going on as well, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, well, what about you, Chris?
So this week I've been getting back into the groove on revamping my YouTube activity and got three new series going that debuted this week. The first one is called Freeloading, which I'm going to take a look at, free-to-play game, sort of show it off every week. Sort of first one's Marvel Heroes Omega. Showed some late-game stuff on that. And, yeah, it's still kind of crazy that you can't, like, reset the story in a sense.
Mm.
Like, go back through it. You can sort of just play the levels and say, okay, I know where the next checkpoint is, essentially, but basically once you get one character to the end game, everybody else is at the end game, even if they're at level one.
Oof.
Which is not the greatest way to go when you're when it says, hey, go play Chapter 8 content with a level 10 character. It's like, that's not going to work out well.
Nope.
It's like when I turned up the difficulty way too high on Diablo 3 with the right at the beginning and spent 10 minutes trying to take on one zombie at the beginning of the game. The other series, the second one, is called, Fresh Play. Essentially, I dig back into my backlog and pull out a game I've not touched before and start it up. So the first one there was Dark Souls 2, and proceeded not to kill an enemy the entire video because it's full of story at the very beginning of this one, which is not how they usually are.
Yeah.
I died to some cat monkeys. I didn't know they were just ignoring you, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to take any of these fucking things down. I just messed with them once, and they all swarmed on me. Then ended up fighting some pigs in the little first town that you get to. And those things are deadly. There's like little piglets that, for whatever reason, are just way more powerful. And so, yeah, I made a nice reference to trying to take down the three little pigs in the comments. And yeah, so that was like a perfect start for that. It's just, okay, we're going to play Dark Souls 2 and not actually do anything Dark Souls. Yeah. And the third series is called On This Week, and essentially every week I'll take a look at a notable game that has it's celebrating an anniversary that week.
Cool.
And this first one is Ape Escape, which turned 18 this week.
Oh, God.
And yeah.
Really?
Yep.
We're old
talked
fuckers.
A lot about the dawn of the dual analog controller. How even then that game still controls pretty weird, since you're not actually using the second stick for camera control like you do nowadays. But and also talked a lot about how there are tons of games in that series, but we're still waiting on Ape Escape 4 to happen. But hopefully that happens this year at E3, at least gets announced, because that would be a nice way to continue their retro play.
Mm.
As they had a bunch of stuff coming out recently, and then obviously Wipeouts and Crash Bandicoot collections coming out this month.
Yeah.
And the weird thing with Ape Escape is that it kind of crashed on the fourth level. Or at least like the music was playing, it was just a black screen. Nothing was going on. I had to reset it to get it going, but I didn't save right before.
Ooh.
But I just quickly played the two levels I missed, got back up, and then we just looked at the monkey profiles, because that's always fun in those games, where they give all the monkeys a personality and a name and all that. So I guess monkey likes wrestling. This monkey likes to sleep in the water. That sort of stuff, and yeah, that's always fun. I got ideas for other things to do on the YouTube channel, but for right now I'm just sticking to the three for the moment. And seeing how that goes.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I'm even getting semi-professional and making custom thumbnails for it. Not doing too much fancy work, but yeah. That's usually a bit different than the normal way. I just take a nice piece of art that they usually display early on in the game. And that's it. So getting semi-professional.
Mm.
Not totally professional yet, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And alongside that, I've been playing a lot of Gems of War. not really for much reason other than they've got some good events going on. Found a new fuck you card in there. It's one called Clockwork Knight. Essentially, if you fill it up, it's mana. It gets, it adds 8 armor to itself, and then picks a random colored gem to change to yellow. So if it picks the right ones, it can get easy 4 matches, 4 or 5 matches, and fill itself back up again immediately. And then you do it again, you add 8 more armor, and potentially can fill it up again. It's like a really potentially easy way to just exploit that and just get this unkillable enemy. And that's part of this whole event. Usually every week they have 2 card packs that you can unlock with enough of the in-game currency, and I managed to get that and actually got enough of the in-game currency to buy 2 of it to start the sort of the process of just feeding cards to itself to power it up. But yeah, that one, if I can get it leveled up enough, it's going to be a powerful card to go along with my Ranger. That's also another fuck you card, which I maxed out this week. And that one just basically does 9 damage on an enemy. And then based on how many enemies are left, it multiplies 9 damage times that remaining amount, spreads it across the rest of the enemies. So it can do up to 36 damage across the rest of the enemies. Ow. Which is a great way to take out a bunch of enemies at once. It's also a great fuck you card, which is always to AI, so it doesn't really do fuck you to anything, but just feels good when you can just wipe out a whole team or wipe out all their weaker, take it down from 4-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
Also been playing more Diablo 3. Working on the 3rd set of challenges, which is mostly complete all the bounties in 1 chapter for each of the chapters. There's one that requires me to start messing around with the Kunai Cube, which requires you having various random crafting materials. So I think that's where there's going to be a bit of a stoppage in progression in that stuff.
Yeah, that cube you get, well, once you've finished the game, which I think you've already done, right?
Yeah, one of the goals, it tells you where to go get it.
Yeah, you have to go do that, and then the materials you just get by doing bounties.
Yeah.
So, it's not that
hard. But you're not really guaranteed on any one of them to get what you want.
You actually are guaranteed to get at least some of those shards. And depending on which ones you get is depending on the act that you're in.
Okay.
So if you need a specific type, just go to that particular act.
Yeah. One of the things that's kind of pissing me off about Diablo 3 is there's no way to manually save.
Yeah.
So once you warp back, it saves. Yeah. And so if you're like, okay, I'm going to use that Haradrim chest that you get, and you quit after that, it didn't save that you did that. So you got to redo it again.
Yeah.
And that chest just drops a bunch of shit all over the place. And so you got to make sure you don't do it when there's a bunch of other stuff to click on. Because I did that right near the warp point. So it's like, okay, got to make sure I don't accidentally warp across the warp somewhere else. It's like, oh, nope, don't. You got to be careful with your clicking. And there's one of the challenges on the season stuff that's constantly resets itself, but you have to spend the blood gems, the blood shards.
Yeah.
It just constantly says, oh, you know, you didn't do this. You know, I've bought them a few times. So I have to wait till I complete all the others and then buy it.
Mm.
It's a weird bug that it keeps doing. As for other stuff, I've been watching Rocket League Championship Series this week, or particularly today, as they're doing their end of season 3 championships with the final 10 teams. And One of the cool things they're doing is if you go to their rewards page, you can sort of put your attach your Twitch account and your PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam account to it. And as you watch, it'll just randomly give out loot to people. And so then you go check out, start up the game, and you won't know if you've gotten it until you start up the game. But if you do, you'll get like exclusive items just for watching the streams, which is pretty cool. And so far, they've been off to a pretty good start with the various games, as I think the defending champs just barely stayed alive in their first match against a team that has a lot of people on it that are kind of casual in a sense in terms of Rocket League, because they're a bunch of kids that are, you know, still in school. And so I think one of them particularly couldn't play until the weekend. But he managed to get that good just playing on the weekends to be able to make this sort of tournament. It's crazy what the advertising they got. They got Brisk Tea. It's like the meme advertiser as there are a bunch of ads and stuff, and they talk about it, joke about it all the time. But the Transformers movie is also advertising as part of this whole thing. But you think about the new Michael Bay Transformers movies seem to do well enough on their own.
Yeah.
But then they're jumping on this Rocket League thing to help further advertise it. And watching the trailers, I have no idea what's going on in that movie.
That's okay.
It seems like it's going to be really stupid. They do have one weird ad they're showing that has a British woman. I assume some sort of voice actress or something trying to teach Optimus Prime how to speak in British, since he's supposed to be the last knight. But he threatens to kill her for yelling at him. It's a weird thing. That's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Okay, well, pretty much this week, other than Utaro Re Romano, my primary gaming has been Guilty Gear Rev 2.
Nice.
Revelator 2, yeah. Well, okay, so actually what I did is early last week, around last Monday, I bought Guilty Gear Revelator because it was on sale.
Yeah.
And it was cheap. And then earlier this week, you know, of course, everybody knows earlier this week, Guilty Gear Rev 2 came out in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
And the great thing about owning Guilty Gear Revelator is that if you go on PSN, you can actually get what they call the Rev 2 upgrade for only $20.
So, did you notice the cool thing about that, though?
Was that?
It's cross-buy.
Yeah, I know.
So I downloaded the upgrade to my PS4 and my roommate's PS3, and it works.
Yep. So the cool thing about Rev 2, of course, is that you get two new characters to play with. You got Biken, my favorite character in the whole series. And you also get Answer, who, for those of you who don't know who Answer is, he's the info dude that works for Chip. So the ninja with the red mask, that guy.
Yeah, or as they call him, Business Ninja.
Yeah, Business Ninja. Biken is basically, you know, she's wearing, like, Biken, everybody knows, is wearing an eye patch now. She's no longer wearing boots for some reason. She is, I love the whole way they present her, because literally the whole way they present her in the game is to, like, basically base her on just about every, like, old, like, samurai movie cliche.
Yeah.
And it's just, in general, the game, you know, it's, they're getting the plot along. Damn, that story mode is just so good. Have not finished it yet, but I'm about halfway there. And of course, the thing is about Rev 2 is that after the main story mode is finished, then you have these little series of short story modes that also go along with it, so you can find like Jam and Baikin and some other characters. The weird thing is, and this is the part that gets me, Bridget has not showed up once. Which is surprising, because Bridget is like one of the most popular characters.
Well, not just that, but there's probably so many characters now with hits out on them.
Yeah.
And considering what Bridget does for a living.
Well, Bridget's a bounty hunter. Hmm. That makes sense.
I'm sure it'll show up sooner or later.
Yeah.
Eventually. It's going to be weird, though,
because see, crazy Japanese Bridget tournament videos come in again.
Yeah. But the thing is, you got to remember, Bridget's going to be like in his 20s when he shows up.
That's true.
So that's going to be kind of weird. I mean, but then again, I think about it, May is like in her 20s now, too, isn't she?
Yeah, it just doesn't act it.
Yeah. But it's, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so, and I don't know if you guys saw this. There's this little short documentary. What's that company called? Toko Toko. They did an episode on Daisuke.
Oh, nice.
Shuatari. Yeah. And,
that would be good.
Oh, yeah, it's good. And, you know, like, they show him going through his day. You know, they show him in his office doing some illustration work and, you know, him, doing some composition work, you know, with his guitar. And he basically talks about, like, you know, what's it like to work in his business. He basically says that, you know, the great thing about his job now is that he can actually go home at night, even if it's usually at, like, around midnight or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it probably wasn't that way when he was on Sammy's payroll.
Nope. And he also, about midway through, they actually have him talking with, what's the name of the guy, the head of the BlazBlue franchise?
Corey?
Yep, he shows up.
Nice.
And they basically talk about, like, their sort of different approaches to game design. Because, like, you know, Daisuke is very much into the sort of hardcore, very technical, somewhat niche appeal. You know, like, to him, it's like something he takes really seriously. Ori, on the other hand, approaches it with sort of a, I don't want to necessarily say casual, but like an approachable thing.
Well,
like, he basically says, like, you know, this is something you're supposed
to. Blue is gathered, and
yeah, he's like,
kind of shows.
He's like, he says, you know, this video game is supposed to be something you play. You know, it's basically a toy, so you want it that people can approach it and play it.
And yet, you compare the two games now.
Yeah.
And. BlazBlue is by far the more technical, the more involved of the two. Mm-hmm. They really did a good job of kind of simplifying Guilty Gear without watering it down.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Daisuke also did a lot of the character artwork for BlazBlue. So,
oh, yeah. Well, you can tell that just by playing it once.
Yeah. Just, God damn, that man is so goddamn talented.
Yes. He really is.
I mean, he's so talented, it pisses me the fuck off. It should be a crime for one person to have all that talent in one body. But anyway. So I've been doing that. I've been, of course, the usual reading. Nothing really major there. I got Josh Malerman's new novel, Black Mad Wheel, which is I talked about Josh Malerman's book, Bird Box, a couple of episodes ago, and he kind of does sort of the similar sort of format where it's like present day story and shit that happened in the past and sort of going back and forth between the two. Basically what this is it's about a group of these dudes. It takes place in, I believe, the early 60s. And it's about this guy who is the keyboard player for this rock and roll band from Detroit called the Danes. And at some point, the United States government contracts him and his bandmates to go out into the middle of this desert somehow where in the Sahara, because for some reason there has been this weird tone or sound that's been coming out from way deep inside the Sahara Desert, and they have no idea where it's coming from, what's producing it. All they know is that when it is that it does weird shit to people when they hear it. So that's sort of the basic storyline for that. Oh, and I've also been reading a very, I think at this point, a pretty famous Japanese horror novel called Another. It was the basis of an anime film sometime back, I think. Pretty freaky shit. But as far as reading goes, that's really what I've been doing. And yes, I have been listening to the new Dragon Force album. Thank you, Phil.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe we can discuss a couple of the songs on there. But yeah. First of all, Curse of Darkness is amazing.
Yeah. Also, absolutely convinced Edge of the World is about Dark Souls.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's got all the little... It talks about the old gods, bells, you know, these ashes.
Yeah.
Seeing through the eyes of the dead. It's fucking Dark Souls. I mean, yeah. I've been told that there basically, at least, that there's like one song in every Dragon Force album that directly relates to some kind of video game, but...
Yeah, in this one there's two.
The only other... Huh?
On this one there's two.
Yeah. What's the other one?
Curse of Darkness.
I know I'm going to hate myself for asking this. What game is it?
Castlevania.
Of course. I was going to say, they already did one.
Yeah. Well,
last album.
I figured the intro that starts off with Bloody Tears probably would have been a clue.
Yeah.
And right. Then there's Midnight Madness, which has no business being on the album. I think it just like derails it.
Yeah.
But beyond that.
The neat thing about some of those songs is they really do sort of go in some different directions they haven't done in the past. Like, I mentioned Edge of the World. Halfway through the Edge of the World, they straight up go, like, full-on black metal. Like, it's like all of a sudden they turn into Children of Bodom out of nowhere. And mm-hmm. The thing is, it's Mark, the same guy who's singing.
Yeah.
Who's doing all the shrieks and growls. It's the same dude.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, so, yeah, it's a great album.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it quite a bit, so.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, so, that's what I've been up to this week. Anybody want to add anything else before we move on?
Nope, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, then, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, folks, I'm going to level with you. We're going to be getting into some kind of heavy shit early on in this cast. And so I'm just going to go ahead and for this random factoid, I'm going to do sort of a public service here by basically dispelling one of the most odious myths I've heard on the internet. And it's about the Swedish rape crisis. Have you heard of this shit?
I think so.
Okay, so you'll hear it all over the fucking internet because, let's face it, the internet is a cesspool of reaction and bigotry.
Yeah.
And there will be a bunch of idiots who will talk about, you know, they'll say Europe is slowly following because of the Muslim menace, you know, flowing into Europe. And usually there is one country they will point out to, which is Sweden. More often than not, you'll find out that almost none of the people that are actually talking about this shit are actually from Sweden.
Hmm.
But it basically goes like this. Because everybody knows, you know, back because of the Syrian refugee crisis, a bunch of countries all over the world decided they were going to take in, you know, Syrian refugees. So, you know, Germany took in some, Canada took in some, and Sweden took in some. Sweden has also been a hub of immigration in Europe for a good decade or more so now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so these assholes, when they bring this up, will always say, because of all of this, the rate is skyrocketing in Sweden. Because, you know, these dirty immigrants come in and they don't respect women like we do, and so they think our Western women are whores whom they can rape at will, and, you know, Islam and cultural Marxism and, you know, buzzwords.
Yeah.
All that random shit. So I'm going to go ahead and just nip that shit in the bud right now. Sweden's rape statistics are the highest in Europe and second highest in the world, but it's not because of what you're thinking. The real reason Sweden's rape statistics are so high is because the Swedish police are required to classify all reported rapes, even if later investigation is unable to provide sufficient evidence for prosecution. Furthermore, a case that involves multiple instances of rape will count each individual instance instead of just one single one, which sort of, for lack of a better word, bloats the number in comparison to other countries who only take, you know, serial rapes and only, you know, put them into one case. Factor this in with also the fact that police will actually investigate these claims without going out of their way to humiliate the victims any further, which unfortunately happens way too often over here. And you combine all of this, higher percentage of rapes will be reported in the first place. Also keep in mind, Sweden has a very broad definition of what rape is, and so actions which may not be considered rape in other countries get classified as such. And this legal change happened relatively recently. Rape is prosecuted regardless of whether the victim pressed charges. So because of that change was recently, plus the way that they investigate it, you can see why that number would suddenly spike. It's because they changed the legal definition of what constitutes rape, and because of the system they already use to investigate and prosecute sexual crimes. So because of this, and because all this started to happen just coincidentally right around the time the Syrian refugee crisis happened, you can see where these idiots start, you know, connecting dots that don't exist.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I also want to reiterate just one thing. And I really want people to think about this. Because here's the thing that I've always found weird about these rape conspiracy theories. So the people of Sweden are letting all these people, and okay, you know, and apparently all these rapes are happening, and yet the Swedish government is either doing nothing or, in their view, are actively, you know, helping it along. You have to ask yourself, why? Like, for what purpose? What would be the end game here? You know, what is the end goal? You know, what is that they think is supposed to be like the positive outcome of all this? And that silence is completely, you know, justified, because there is none.
Yeah.
That's why that whole conspiracy makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Why, you know, and usually what will happen if they do try to make some kind of explanation, they will usually bring up, well, because of the Zionist and the cultural Marxist. I'm like, and when they say that, just to let you know, they're talking about the Jews. And at that point, you can just say, okay, later, turn around and walk away, because you are talking to a crazy person. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Hooray.
Ah.
Yeah, it sounds like the opposite here, where they rarely ever get reported.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, all right. Oh, boy. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, our asshole of the week. Come on. You know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
The Portland alt-right murderer / terrorist. All right. First of all, we are not going to say his name, because he doesn't deserve the goddamn attention. If you want to find out his name, just Google. You'll find it. But basically, here's the story. So this douchebag was on a train in Portland, Oregon, when he came across these two young girls, one of whom apparently was wearing a hijab. And he starts going on about, you know, get out of my country, go back to Saudi Arabia, blah, blah, blah. And keep in mind, these were just kids. you know, like teenagers. They were just there, and for some reason, this asswipe is like, just had, you know, a wild hair up his ass, and he's like, man, I have got to stick it to these kids. So there were three other people that were near this train. One of them was a Republican, 23-year Army veteran, father of four kids. Another one was a Democrat, registered Democrat, recently graduated from college, just bought his first apartment, was ready to get out into the world, was probably going to go to graduate school. And then there was this third guy. I haven't really heard much about who he was, but I've been heard he's a political independent. And I'm pretty sure there's a metaphor in here somewhere. And you'll see what I mean in just a second. All three of these individuals come up to this dude, because I want to emphasize, this guy wasn't just like doing this quietly. No, he was fucking trying to make a scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, just yelling on the train.
Yeah, and so these three dudes are like, dude, leave them alone. They're just kids, man. I mean, fuck, they look like they're still in high school. What the hell?
Yeah.
And so how does he react? Takes out a knife and slashes all three of their throats. The first and second guy died. The third guy survived, but he's going to have some paralysis issues, and he's got a nasty-ass scar that goes from his chin all the way down past his clavicle.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah. I saw the pictures of him in the courtroom when they were going through the murderer's stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's like under his jawline on the left side, right under his ear.
And really, the only reason he survived is because this asshole managed to miss his carotid artery by like a millimeter.
Wow!
Did you see what happened to one of the victims afterwards? The homeless guy stole his backpack and took the wedding ring off his finger as he was dying.
Naturally.
Yeah, he managed to find the guy, but I think his wallet's missing. But got everything else. He was just wearing the wedding ring after he stole it.
Yeah.
It's like, a figure if you're a homeless guy, you'd probably try and sell it as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
they caught him under the bridge, so.
So we got two young girls probably gonna have to deal with this shit for a good long while. Trauma, grief. We got a dead Army veteran raising four kids.
Yeah, that's the one that had his stuff stolen.
Yeah.
So he stole it from an army man. That's even great, too.
And we have a dead college graduate.
Yeah.
Just about ready to go off in the world, have a nice career, everything like that. And they're dead. I mean, there is no going back from that.
Yeah.
He took both of these people's lives on a whim because he wanted to make a fucking point. And so after that happened, he tried to run off the train, and he did for a little while. And he managed to get somewheres up the street, but he actually got followed. He actually was followed by a couple of other people who were on the train. And they actually, when the police finally confronted him, and he's like standing in the middle of the street with like a bloody knife and drinking something. I don't know what it was. And these dudes are like, they're watching it on his iPhone, and you hear them say it on the recordings, like, yeah, we know who this asshole is. That's why we chased him up the street. You know? And so he was arrested. He's going to be going to trial. He was arraigned earlier this week. And if you're expecting him to have any kind of remorse or just any kind of, you know, just any kind of sense whatsoever. No. No. First goddamn thing he says when he enters that courtroom is free speech or die, Portland. You have no safe space.
Does Portland have a death penalty?
It's Oregon. Oh, so I'm pretty sure. It depends on if it's in Oregon, so it's whatever the state's view on the death penalty is. But you know, he kept going on, you know, it was like, get out of our country if you don't like our freedom. You know, death to Antifa. And then finally, before he left the courtroom, he said, you call it terrorism, I call it patriotism. You hear me? Die.
Yeah, I think he was also saying that God was going to forgive him for this. Like, that's not really how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, he'll find out sooner than later, probably.
Mm-hmm. So,
I should also probably mention there's a GoFundMe for Micah, the one that survived.
Yeah.
He'll pay for his medical expenses. Is at $263,000 of a $300,000 goal, so it's going up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You can see his scar in the shots in the on the front page of that. So that's so if you need to see the damage he's taken, but
And I really want to say the Muslim community has really stepped up to the plate on this one.
Yeah, I think they've raised $500,000 for the other two families.
Nice. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you know, just one of the things that happened immediately after this happened. Well, of course, any rational person would heard about this story, so would first be like, "Oh my God, that's terrible! What can I do to help?" You know, that's what a rational person does. But then eventually what happened is people were trying to sort of, I guess, pigeonhole him politically. First of all, so here's some facts that you need to know. Number one, the most recent photographs we've got of this guy is him at one of those quote-unquote free speech rallies with a American flag used as a cape, Sieg-heiling and going white power. This dude was a well-known white supremacist in his neighborhood who had a criminal record that was already fairly expansive beforehand.
Shocking.
Yeah, I want to say he had been in prison for a few months.
Yeah.
Mainly from violating his parole from previous incident.
Yeah. We also know that he said, if Trump is the new Hitler, I want to be part of his SS on his Facebook page. Or was it Twitter? On social media. The thing is,
wasn't he on some kind of watch list for that shit?
Good probably. God. I would not be shocked.
He should have been.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's a felon, so technically he's already on a watch list.
Yeah.
So, but then here's the thing, though. For a little while, he was going out supporting Bernie Sanders. Now, here's the thing. First of all, it is maybe possible that he was supporting Bernie Sanders. I actually know of a few Trump supporters who also supported Bernie. So that wouldn't necessarily be improbable.
Yeah, however, Bernie had a lot of unsavory supporters.
Yeah, however, keep in mind that the folks over on the Donald subreddit had a very very well-known campaign of having Trump supporters trying to pretend to be Bernie supporters trying to get people to support Trump. So it's possible that he was actually a part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come across folks who've on the internet who said that, you know, they may have talked to him in the comment sections on like Breitbart and World News Daily and Drudge Report and all the, you know, infamous far right tabloid websites. Hmm. But here's the simple fact. Dude was a racist, white supremacist, and he's a terrorist.
Yep.
Okay? There is no denying that. And you know what? Alt-right people, this one's on you. Okay? This asshole was produced by you.
Yep.
You know?
You want to hear about his criminal record?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. This will be a treat.
Okay. Robbery, kidnapping, weapons charges, parole violations, failure to appear in courts, and contempt. Let's see, at the federal level, he pleaded guilty to being a felony in possession of a firearm in 2011. The DOJ asked for a 2-year prison sentence.
Mm.
The federal judge sentenced him to time served plus supervised release. He violated terms a few months later. The judge still didn't put him in prison, so he violated terms of his release again a few months after that. Mm-hmm. 2013 was finally sentenced to 9 months in federal prison, where he stayed until May of 2014.
Mm. Yeah. This dude had literally only been out of prison for like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And not showing any signs of remorse about whatever he's done.
Nope.
Before and after this incident.
Well, like I said, we aren't going to mention his name, but the heroes of that day, we will remember them fondly and forever, and they represent what true America is supposed to be about.
Yep.
And all three of them came from different parts of the political spectrum, and all three of them were, you know, suffered this guy, and two of them lost their lives over it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a metaphor in there that you can come up with, but basically this should be a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Like, right here and now. So, yeah, he was obviously going to be our asshole of the week.
Without competition.
Yeah, not without competition, because of course we had a runner-up.
Yeah.
And of course it was Donald Trump, who announced that the U.S. is going to be pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Yep. Joining only two other countries.
Nicaragua and Syria.
So, and Nicaragua is protesting it because they don't think it goes far enough.
Mm-hmm.
Syria is kind of in shit right now.
Yeah.
They're not really a country really right now.
Yeah, Syria's not really in much of a, you know, in much of a situation to sign a lease, let alone a fucking...
But hey, Kim Jong-un signed on for this. Putin signed on for this.
Mm-hmm.
All the dictators
China,
out there
Saudi Arabia, all of them signed on to it.
Yeah. Trump apparently wants a better deal. It's like, you want a better deal with the Earth?
Look,
I
want people to know the Paris Climate Accord came into existence after 10 long years of negotiation.
Yeah.
This is literally the best deal that you can have.
Yeah. And it's still a voluntary thing. He could just done nothing.
Yeah. No. He just had to be the Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to fight for a better deal, and then we're going to slash the budget of the EPA and all the other agencies that could deal with this.
Yeah. So I want to remind just all of our listeners around the world, we Americans are not the ones who pulled our country out of the Paris Climate Accord. It was our asshole president who did it.
Yep.
About 20-some Republicans urging him on.
And also remember, of the three of us here who are Americans, none of us voted for him.
Yeah.
Nope.
So,
I should also point out that this has also cost Trump a bunch of his advisors.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is gone. Bob Eisner is gone. Or Eigner. Who was it?
Bob Iger.
Yeah. He's gone.
And Disney CEO.
Yeah. Tesla CEO. SpaceX CEO. Tim Cook actually called him and said, dude, don't do this shit.
Didn't
listen. So,
Tim Cook's
the Pope can't convince him after he said the Pope changed his mind on a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking liar. Apparently, one of the things that most affected him was Macron, his handshake. Started talking about that. Apparently felt humiliated by it. So,
yep.
Of course, he's got to take it out on 7.5 billion other people.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to take that will actually take 4 years to extricate themselves. And it's like
after the election in 2020.
Yeah. So, by the time that happens, Trump probably won't be in the White House anyway.
No.
I don't think he's going to be able to con the American people twice.
No. I doubt it.
Yeah. And that's assuming he even makes it that far.
Yeah. I'll save that for later. But yeah, just things are starting to heat up over there.
Yeah.
So our heroes of the week, we already told you what our main ones was. It was the three in Portland.
Yeah.
We already talked about them, blah, blah. But our runner-up for the hero is General Electric CEO Jeff Immelt, who recently calls for industry to take the lead on climate change.
In response to the
yeah,
the Paris.
Trump. Yeah. Which, by the way, a bunch of, I think it was like 70-something mayors of like 70-something cities in the United States.
And three governors pledging to continue on with their work on that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a U.S. Climate Alliance formed between Washington, the states, California, and New York. Which I've already seen people try to say it's unconstitutional.
No, that's
states are not supposed to collaborate to work with other countries. Like, they're not working with the other countries.
Yeah.
They're just saying we're going to meet the terms of the deal, not actually be in it.
Yeah.
Because all these, there's tons of areas in this country that have already been working on this. Trump's not going to stop them.
Yeah.
Apparently he said he works for Pittsburgh, not Paris. And
that blew up in his face.
Yeah, because there are way more people in Pittsburgh working on renewable energy.
Yeah.
Than coal and gas and all that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just goes to show.
As is the case most places. Like I saw a chart showing how many people were working in the, I think it was coal industry. At its peak in like the early 1900s, it was up to about 900,000.
Yeah.
Now it's at about 100,000.
Yeah.
Across the entire country.
Yeah, and you know they're already like right down here in Georgia, they're already starting to build solar farms. So
yeah,
it's a good place to put them too.
Yeah, it should be.
Oh hell yeah!
In all over the desert, Nevada and Arizona, New Mexico, Texas.
Yeah,
because there's tons of empty space, tons of sun.
Yeah,
but you got
put one of them on one of the top of those plateaus in Utah.
Yeah, there was, I forget which politician was talking about how, oh, there's cloudy days and rain and calm wind on the wind turbines. It's like, that's why you got battery storage.
Yeah.
You store it for the rainy days. That's the whole point.
But
yeah, so.
But yeah, it's Trump trusting this stuff to politicians and not to the scientists that know what they're talking about, because he obviously doesn't believe in it.
Yeah.
Right.
He cares more about business.
I should just point one thing out. I recently read Change Agent by Daniel Suarez. One of the first things he cites that led to America's downfall. Was pulling out of the
Paris Climate Accord.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, so, that's our Assholes and Heroes of the Week. Before we move on, we have to because we had yet another death in the music world, and this one is one I could not escape because he was from my hometown. Greg Allman, of the Allman Brothers Band, passed away at the age of 69 from hepatitis C. Yeah. Apparently, he had been having health problems as far back as 1997. But he had managed to keep it pretty hidden for the 20 years or some odd years after that. I really could not escape this one. Because, like I said, the Allman Brothers Band is from my hometown.
Yeah.
You know, the big house, which is, you know, the studio that they lived in and recorded in. You know, my dad owns a share in that place. He's it's just everywhere in this freaking town, man. I mean, there was a bunch of old folks who knew these guys, who, you know, like the So, like, we have this really famous soul food restaurant in Macon called H&H.
Yeah.
And the Allman Brothers ate there all the time. They were talking to one of the main women who founded that place just today. And, you know, she was talking about how much she loved those boys. They were some of her best covenanters. They were the nicest folks ever. And keep in mind, this was the 60s in Georgia. So, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But, of course, everybody knows... it was Greg's brother, Dwayne Allman, passed away in the early 70s in a motorcycle accident. He was the slide guitarist for the band. And on top of, playing with the Allmans, he also was one of the musicians on that song, Layla, you know, with Eric Clapton and all the other folks. You know, he's the guy who plays the slide guitar on that song.
Yeah.
And so now, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The Allman, that's pretty much it for the original Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm pretty sure Greg's son is still around, and I'm sure some of Dwayne's family is too. Mm-hmm. But as far as the actual Allman Brothers themselves, that's officially it. They're gone. Yeah. And, which is really sad because, I mean, a lot of people don't realize this. Greg Allman, you know, he used to have his own band, but he also used to tour with, even after, you know, Dwayne passed away, he kept touring with the Allman Brothers band. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got married this year.
Yep. God damn, that sucks. So we've had him, we've got Chris Cornell. God, yeah. Please... I'm already crossing my fingers. Please don't let this be 2016 all over again.
Yeah, well, so far it's not at the same pace that 2016 was at. So, no. At least there's that, but still, yeah. It's the end of an era, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so now for the show proper. As we mentioned earlier, 83 mayors and 3 governors have pledged to keep the guidelines for the Paris Climate Accord. All is a major fuck you to Donald Trump and his administration.
Yeah.
And Civil War II when?
Oh, that's going to happen. Probably it's 2018.
The United States versus Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Or versus the GOP.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think it's kind of the GOP versus the GOP.
Yeah.
It's kind of splintered in the middle there.
I will say, if there's one good thing that's come out of this administration, it's really shown you where people stand. Because we've seen people who actually have some moral backbone, and we've seen the people who have no backbone at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a great Twitter Moments page that Trump himself set up that mm-hmm. just shows all of the politicians that sided with him. I gotta find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, he just put hashtag Make America Great Again. They put a sticker on the end of that, an emoji. That or mm-hmm. he did it himself. It's a U.S. flag after that. Yeah. Here it is.
Yeah, Trump it's literally just how to do emoji recently, so he's using those a lot now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. It's just him and putting a bunch of tweets of, here's Rick Perry, here's Pence, Rick Perry again. Babin, Alex Mooney, the Tea Party Express, Shelley Moore Capito, the Western Caucus, Jim Inhofe, Sensenbrenner Press, Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
Senator Orrin Hatch.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz. Mike Enzi. Oh, our favorite human turtle, Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the
Andy Biggs, Paul Ryan, the Treasury Department. Oh, Steve Manoogian, that's why it's there. David Perdue, Barry Loudermilk, Mike Kelly, David McKinley, Jim Jordan, Kevin McCarthy, Mike Lee.
Yeah, you can stop.
Here's a hit list for you if you need to know all the stupid people that have convinced Trump more than scientists, the Pope, every other world leader he met in Europe.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, he met all these people urging him to stay, didn't have the balls to tell him in person.
Mm. Yep.
He wasn't going to stay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Speaking of the shit hitting the fan, we now know when James Comey's Senate hearing is going to be on. It's going to be next week, next coming Thursday.
Yeah.
It's going to be June 8th. Now, there has been talk that the Trump administration is going to try to find some way to block this.
Jeez, now, make yourself look any more guilty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's just talk right now. You know, just rumors in the air. I actually would think it highly probable they won't try to do something.
He'll just probably shit talk on Twitter.
Yeah. But if he actually does, that's pretty much just an admission of guilt, right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. If he does that, they might as well just, you know, walk him out of the White House in handcuffs right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it doesn't matter what the actual charge is. We know you fucking did something.
Yeah.
But of course, fortunately, we do have habeas corpus and due process of law, even for assholes like Trump.
Yeah.
But
you have to get his party to turn on him.
Mm-hmm. And,
that's not gonna be easy.
No.
Unless you dig up dirt on them to use against them.
Which is probably what's also going to have to happen. Yeah. Because if they support Trump this hard, there's got to be some reason. Because he isn't exactly... Yeah, he might have shit on them. Mm. And if he goes down, he might take half the GOP with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the Senate committee has been quite thorough trying to get as many people under testimony as they can. Like Trump's lawyer, various other people in Trump's administration.
Yeah. And also, apparently, Robert Mueller, the guy who's the independent investigator for this, it was recently announced he's actually going to broaden the investigation to include not only Paul Manafort, probably you guys know him, we know him more during the election in the early days of the administration than anything. But it's probably also going to also include Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Just drag all of them into it.
Yeah. That's his job. I mean, he was hired to get the bottom of this shit.
Mm-hmm. And, it's really just, I think, and here's the thing you need to understand by now. One of the things that that critics have been bringing up is, what is the actual charge that we're trying to bring to the Trump administration? Like, what's the actual crime that's been committed here? Now, the ideas have been Trump maybe owes a bunch of money to one of those Russian oligarchs, that Russia has some sort of dirt on him, and that he's basically being blackmailed into this shit. Now people saying that, you know, Russia hacked the election, that's bullshit. You know, that isn't what people are trying to say. What we're saying is that Russia actually tried to involve themselves and actually did in trying to manipulate the election towards their ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the DNC hack.
Yeah.
Working with WikiLeaks, all that.
And then, of course, we now know that James Comey, that little bit of information about Hillary that, you know, he said announced, you know, there may be more information, turned out it was fake and it was from the Russians.
Hmm.
Keep this in mind with the fact, with all of the Russian connections with the people in the administration, the fact that several members of that administration have, in fact, lied about those connections numerous times.
Yeah, I think Jeff Sessions is on his second lie about it.
Yeah, and we actually have proven it. And then at some point, it's just like, we may not know. Okay, so at this point, it's way too many goddamn coincidences to not be suspicious.
Hmm.
It just isn't. There's just too much goddamn smoke for there to not be a fire. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're probably not going to get them directly on anything that we know probably happened. You're probably going to get them on obstruction of justice and that sort of stuff.
Well, yeah, if anything, that's probably going to be the one thing that gets him.
Yeah.
That's almost a certainty because he did. He literally committed obstruction of justice. We have proof of that. And, you know, remember, fucking Bill Clinton got impeached for lying about a blowjob. You know, fucking Warren G. Harding, you know, he pretty much nearly lost his presidency over one person in his administration doing a corrupt land deal.
Yeah.
And apparently the search for the new FBI director has been a shit show.
Oh, yeah. I don't
apparently
blame
he's
him.
Been, when he's interviewed at least one person, he was mostly talking about himself the whole time.
Of course he was, because he's fucking Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's not interested in America. He's just interested in his own freaking ratings.
Yeah.
And it's like all this is apparently affecting his ability to find anybody else to take any of these positions. He's barely filled any of his positions.
Because nobody wants to
he's got hundreds more.
Nobody yeah.
Who's actually talented would want to work for him.
Exactly.
So he's having to fill positions with people who have no business being there.
Yeah. Speaking of people who really have no business being there, Representative Daryl Issa. We've talked about him before. Just know, number one, he's an asshole. And pretty much through the entire Obama presidency, he was trying to do something. All these different he was one of the big Benghazi cheerleaders. You know, I mean, he basically led one of the Senate, one of the committees investigating that shit. And of course, they never got anything.
Yeah.
But of course, now that's not there. And now, of course, he's having to deal with his constituents who have gotten really pissed off at him. So much so that he has been dodging, you know, town halls left and right. And then this week, when his constituents showed up to protest him outside of his office, instead of going out there and confronting them like a man, he fled up to the roof of the building.
And hung out.
Hung out up there, trying to record the whole thing with a smartphone. And yes, there are photos.
Like
photos from the people that are running against him in the next election.
Yep. We got pictures of him right there.
Up on the roof. I don't understand how these people think. I actually don't think they do at this point.
That's a nice joke here. The richest member of Congress is literally looking down on his constituents.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. We forgot to mention. He is literally the richest person in Congress right now.
There's a joke here with one of the Beatles driving by from The Simpsons saying, "It's been done."
It's George Harrison.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Another picture of a moment from The Office where Michael is hanging out on top of the office. Thinking of debating whether he wants to jump off or not.
I'm pretty sure there was somebody down the credit going, "Jump!"
Probably.
We'll catch you, we promise!
Splat.
This is going to get so many likes.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think the building was that high up. But yeah, so...
Jerk.
It's a circus here, folks. And now for some news that's really going to piss you the fuck off. So, the Smithsonian Museum has recently been doing African-American history.
Yeah, this is the National Museum of African-American History in Washington,
which
D.C.
is sponsored by the Smithsonian.
Yeah, they have a variety of museums around the country.
Yeah. For the record, if there is a museum near you that is sponsored by the Smithsonian, go to it. because odds are it's going to be of really good quality, and there's going to be some really fucking fascinating stuff in there.
Yeah.
Really, I promise.
Until but, that's their funding.
Yeah. But for the second time this week, somebody found a noose inside of the building.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going
to... Since it was a rope, it didn't set off the magnetometers.
Yeah. And we're not talking about like a piece of string or like something that was being used to hang up something in the belt. No, this was a straight up rope noose.
Mm. And it's not a coincidence that it found its way in there.
No. Now, keep in mind, so yeah, just fucking... I mean, I would like to say that I'm outraged, and I am, but is it just me, or am I the only one who's starting to get kind of numb to this shit? Because, I mean, it's happening so frequently.
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah, I...
There's just the one asshole who just has to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to be that guy. You know, he's like, it's like the same asshole who, you know, you're crossing over a rope bridge and he's the asshole who starts swinging it around and jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that, you know, he's behind you on the diving board and he's the one that pushes you off. Mm. He's that kind of asshole.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he's so funny.
Yeah. Well, let's go and put a noose in a Black History Museum. Yeah, that'll be great.
Now, I'm going to be real here. This museum, if they're smart, they're going to take that noose and they're going to make it its own exhibit.
Yeah.
Just to show, like, look, this is something that happened inside our museum. This type of hate that we've been talking about still exists.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave this as a warning to not ignore this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if anything, it should be a reason to feel even stronger about the work they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it should be one of the first things you see when you enter the building.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I like with the whole Confederate flag stuff that people still fight for that. It's weird that you don't see too much of people saying, well, we should be treating it like the Nazi symbol, the way Germany handled it. They don't deny that it ever happened. They make sure they teach all their kids about what happened.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Should be doing the same thing with the
whole slavery stuff. We should be doing the same thing over here, but it will be a while before we do.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, when it comes to social progress, in many ways, the United States will always be a good 20, 30 years behind everyone else.
Yeah.
Two steps forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
Right side.
Not getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Really
but,
sometimes.
Yeah. So, but now for some good news. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with the story of Tamir Rice, right?
Yeah.
He was that kid who was out in a park. He was like 12 years old. He was playing with a toy gun that admittedly did look pretty realistic because he had taken the orange cap off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And cops drove up after they were called and within 2 seconds shot and killed him and then drove away. Like literally just boom, boom. The whole thing happens and the whole event happens in like 6 seconds. The officer, the Cleveland officer who actually shot him, has been fired.
Yeah, not for shooting him.
No, not for
relying
shooting
on his application.
Right.
Well, he should be charged, personally, but...
Yeah, he should be charged, and the fucker should be in jail, but guess what?
Unfortunately, every single time this happens, they get off every single time.
Yeah, they get off almost every single time because you know how they say about, you know, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It is true.
Yep.
So when people are talking about, you know, there's a few bad apples in the police department, remember, bad apples spoil the bunch.
Yep.
Usually they're leading a lot of the police departments.
Yeah.
I want to say there was a Last Week Tonight episode about the whole thing. Mm. All of the police militarization and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, they talked about one particular department that was teaching their officers to just go back into their filing cabinet and just taking out the parts of their permanent record that they don't want.
Right.
Just clean it up every once in a while.
Yeah. Hmm. By the way, just remember those permanent records are state property.
Yeah.
Which in itself, and that's destruction of state property, which in itself is a felony.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how this guy got his job, is he was able to essentially obscure the notion that he had previous marks on his record that he probably shouldn't be in a position to hold guns and
right.
use them. And they didn't know that. So when they put him out on the patrol and all that, you know, he's a huge liability.
Hmm. Yep. And now a little kid is dead. And unfortunately, this fucker will probably never pay the price.
Hmm.
So. But he is out of a job. And he will.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that he will never be a police officer again. But there have been.
We know
been,
that's. Yeah.
But, I mean, there have been. There are recorded instances of assholes like this just going to another state and joining the police force there.
Yeah.
So.
It's like a weird mercenary band of cops.
Mm-hmm.
They basically. Fuck up in one town, just travel across the country and find a new place to settle down.
Yep.
Until they fuck up again.
Yeah. So, now some actual pleasant news. So, in New York City, there was a grad student who unfortunately was not able to make his graduation because there was a delayed subway. So, the folks at the New York subway system, you know, felt kind of bad for this. So they decided they would hold a mock graduation just for him.
Guess what song they were playing? It's Green Day. Time of Your Life.
Yep.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, I think somebody had their phone up to like a Bluetooth speaker just playing.
Nice.
They were doing this video. It's like, okay, because I think he also had family on there as well that were going with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was just a nice thing to say. And for the record, the New York subway has actually been having some problems the last month or so.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were aware. They knew this was a problem, and they wanted to try and make up for it. So,
yeah.
You know, let's give them that much credit, right?
Yeah. Well, this
doing
is
right
nice
by
of
him.
People actually, you know, being decent to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a concept that, you know, should happen a bit more, but...
Yeah. Now, on to something that's just plain fucking weird, but considering where it's happening at... not really. So, guess what? RoboCop is now real.
In Dubai, anyway.
In Dubai. For those of you who don't just to understand, Dubai is basically what would happen if, you know, Elvis Presley decided to convert to Islam and then buy an entire city in the UAE.
Yeah.
That's Dubai. It's tacky. It's fucking overloaded with decadence and excess.
And whatever you do, do not speed there.
No.
The cops will catch you.
Yeah. And most of their labor is basically immigrant slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
It is like if there is a place that is just epitomizes all the things that are wrong with modern late stage capitalism, it's Dubai. Just every last bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, just don't go there, okay?
Yeah, just don't.
Dubai, it's the UAE. The UAE is a fucking horrible place.
Hmm.
You know. But yeah, for the record, this RoboCop isn't exactly the most impressive looking specimen.
No, it's basically a kiosk on wheels.
Yep.
That can roll around and you can pay your tickets on it.
Yeah. Just,
but apparently they want to put weapons on them at some point. So that's great.
That's not gonna result in any problems.
Yeah,
I see no reason that this wouldn't work.
Yeah, they also want to have about 25% of their police force be these robots by 2030.
Yeah.
Which, not to replace police officers, just have more of these out there to take care of smaller things.
Mm-hmm. Automation, folks.
Yeah.
Coming for your job to a city near you.
Yeah, they say they're more like roving cameras and customer service centers than actual crime fighters.
Again, this is basically what's going to happen in pretty much every McDonald's in the next 50 years.
And it's also got a nice creepy face.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got like actual eyes with gigantic irises.
Yeah, because of course they had to make it look like that.
Oh, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that one of the engineers on this thing was probably Japanese.
Barcelona.
Oh.
Spanish.
Well, then somebody in Barcelona is a real goddamn weeaboo.
Yeah. Still.
He's still terrifying, though. Yeah.
Hey, we put a police head on this guy.
Yeah.
All right. And now we've got some hockey news. All right. Pat, take it away.
Yeah, during game one of... Well, first off, this requires some backstory because it's an old tradition at Detroit Red Wings playoff games to throw squids on the ice. And this goes back years and years and years because basically to the time when it only took... two playoff series to win the Stanley Cup. And mm-hmm. that's what the squid signified, was the 8 wins that it took to win the cup. So Nashville was in a series against the Detroit Red Wings years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to, or some fan had this idea that they were going to throw something more indicative of Nashville. And fishing being a big thing down in those parts, they took a catfish and threw it on the ice, and it kind of became a tradition at Nashville's arena.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't fly so well when a Predators fan tried it during game one of these Stanley Cup finals going on right now in Pittsburgh. He smuggled it in. Threw it on the ice, and it just exploded and went everywhere.
Whoops.
The fan was briefly being charged with a litany of crimes for doing this, but I think all the charges were dropped eventually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, don't throw catfish in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he fessed up.
I guess.
And he fessed up all the everything he did, how he set this all up. Oh, we can go through it. He acquired, paid $350 for a pair of upper bowl tickets. So he spent a lot of money just to get thrown out of this. He said he wanted to take a Nashville catfish because it's more original to throw one of our catfish. So apparently there was a famous fish market in Pittsburgh that banned Nashville fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, he told the local radio station about his plans, and so they were willing to pay for any fines or whatever he got.
Mm.
But he was also wearing one of their shirts. So if you see the video of him doing this, and his wife apparently was okay with it. So he's got a great wife.
Apparently.
Letting him do this. And he also calls himself, he's just a dumb redneck with a bad idea. So he's fully aware of what he's. So he's, to move a gigantic rotting fish, seventh of the way across the country, sprayed it down with Old Spice cologne and threw it in a cooler.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's no question why it exploded.
And
it was ready.
Yeah, so he had to consolidate. On game night, he took the fish to his cousin's house, filleted it, cut out half the spine, and ran it over with his truck to make it easier to vacuum pack and conceal.
Oh, my God.
But apparently, as he said, the head was too damn big. No matter how much I ran it over with my truck, the head was too big. Let's see. The next step, he planned to stash it in his boots, but realized that the head wouldn't fit. So he created a catfish underwear sandwich. He put his regular drawers on first, then the catfish, then a pair of compression shorts, over that than a pair of baggy pants. He said he was lucky he's a bigger guy. Skinny jeans would have shown it off for sure. Apparently when he got the pat down going into the arena, they noticed the fish. He managed to convince them he was just well endowed. So that's a case where he managed to just embarrass himself enough that they just said, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's not a crime, it's just stupid.
Yeah. He was strapped up, talked to his in-laws for about 20 minutes. This was sort of testing out the fish. And they had no idea he had it on him. So apparently the cologne was pretty good.
Yep.
Taking out the fish smell. Yeah, he was working with his cousin, a former Army staff sergeant, who helped him stake out the arena and figure out how they would get down from their upper bowl seats to the lower sections so they could get close enough. And apparently they convinced two of their Predators fans that were down in the more expensive seats to switch seats for a little bit so they could do this. Let's see. Waddell, with the fish now out of his underwear, wrapped in a giveaway t-shirt, he started walking down the stairs, and this is in the video, him just sort of pulling it out and just throwing it over the glass onto the ice.
Yep.
He didn't, and when he started walking away, obviously security found him easily. He didn't protest much or run away or anything. So they grabbed him and took him away. He said the crowd started just yelling at him, calling him hillbilly, redneck, all that stuff. They're calling me stuff I should be called. If it wasn't 1 versus 10,000, it wouldn't have been uncomfortable. But I was kind of hoping security guards would get us on the way out of here. Or get us out of here. And when he got to the detainment room, the suits started showing up. They're all staring at me, trying to make it real serious. I know nothing's going to happen. So the guy's like, I hope you're satisfied. And I said, yeah, I do too. So that really ticked him off. By Tuesday morning, Waddell had been charged with disorderly conduct, disrupting a meeting, and best of all, possessing an instrument of crime, as in the fish.
Mm-hmm.
The cop told me to my face, you are being charged with disorderly conduct. You'll get a ticket, a citation in the mail. That's what I was told. Now they come out with a couple other trumped up charges, which are BS. I mean, a catfish isn't an instrument of whatever the hell they're saying it was, and I didn't disrupt a meeting. It was an athletic event. Yeah, the radio station's going to cover any fines he gets, and there's plenty of Nashville lawyers that'll help him on any legal stuff that might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty sure that he'll win any battle that happens, but he's just stubborn enough, as you can tell by strapping catfish to my crotch to go up there and fight it.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
What happens when you have too much time and not enough
brain cells. Stuff to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. But in more funny news, I'm sure there's folks out there who enjoy being mascots for sports teams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be kind of an okay job. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, having to be in the big, heavy suits probably a little stifling, especially during the summer.
Yeah.
But there's got to be few mascot positions that are more, that are less, that cannot be more demeaning than Mr. Met. That's just got to be like the low tier of all of them.
Yeah, being a mascot for a team that's not very good.
Yeah, the New York Mets. Anyway, so apparently whoever it is that was playing Mr. Met for, let's see, what game was this? So it was one of the...
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, it was last Wednesday. It was at Citi Field, Citi Field Arena. Huh?
I think the 31st.
Yeah, 31st of May. And apparently... The folks over at CDV were apparently insulting his Mr. Met's mother, because of course it's New York. And so Mr. Met, of course, got pissed off and gave them all the finger. And somebody snapped a photo of it.
Yeah, there's a video of it, too.
Mm-hmm. And so the dude was let go.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, not really the middle finger. It's the index finger, even though he's got three fingers and a thumb.
Yeah,
it's
but
not the actual middle finger in there. But
yeah, you would say that, but you know, if you see the picture, it's pretty clear what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not the middle finger of that glove.
Yeah, because he's also
he
given
done
him,
it right.
Yeah, because you know he's also given him the over under.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he got let go, and
game misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was more like a match penalty.
Yeah. You have, I mean, just for the record, if you're being a mascot for a team in New York, you kind of have to be prepared for that shit.
No. Yeah.
Apparently one of the Mets' best players is afraid of Mr. Met and his wife. He said last season, they're just creepy, they're very stealthy, but they're huge at the same time. I feel like they snuck up on me everywhere. The most terrifying mascot for me, Mr. Met, is probably somewhere around here. So he's putting the fear in the players as well.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason Five Nights at Freddy's is a thing.
Yeah.
I guess there's something funny happened with the Mets earlier this season, or this happened in May.
Yeah.
Pitcher Matt Harvey was suspended for 3 days after failing to show up for a game while a sex toy was visible in the catcher's locker room in an official team tweet. They tweeted out a picture of the locker room. You could see a big black dildo on one of the players. The catcher said it was a part of a prank played by his teammates.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So, yeah, having lots of fun over there in New York.
Yeah. So, you know, moving on. So we got yet another amusing, quote-unquote, fashion trend, even though not really. Let's be honest. I mean, really, let's be honest. Most of these so-called fashion trends that they talk about, they aren't really trends at all. It's just a few yuppie assholes who try them and one douchebag fashion designer who tries to push it all on people. And so, you know, the millennial generation gets pulled down another peg. Lace shorts and... Lace shorts and shirts and... adult-sized rompers for men.
No.
Romp him.
That's all I gotta say. Just, no. We do not need this. No.
Yeah, we don't need more clothing that shows off your underwear.
Yeah, we got plenty of that already.
Nobody wants to see that.
Why?
But yeah, seriously, like I said... that's the thing whenever we talk about these new quote-unquote fashion trends is that they're usually bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah. This is a thing now. I doubt it will be a thing for long. In fact, yeah. I doubt if we'll be talking about this within the next 2 weeks.
Probably not.
So, on to something that's worth talking about. NASA has recently announced that they are going to be sending a spacecraft to the sun so that they can better study solar winds.
Hmm. Not a manned spacecraft, right?
Oh, no. Obviously not. I mean, no. God.
The whole melting.
Anyone thing. In there? Well, yeah. They get squashed flat before that ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Parker Solar Probe, which is the first spacecraft we've named for a living person.
Yep.
But Parker actually discovered the phenomenon of solar winds.
Mm-hmm.
I forget when. In the 50s?
Probably. One of the reason they're going to be doing the study for solar winds is I am expecting sometime in the near future they're going to start putting solar sails on their spacecraft.
Yeah. That's probably not far off.
I mean, there's no other reason. I mean, I say there's no other reason. There's other reasons, but, you know, solar sails are pretty efficient. And cost-effective, considered the other shit.
Yeah. If you're going around near the sun, well, you're going to have basically unobstructed use of them, so...
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, this thing's supposed to park itself about 4 million miles from the surface of the sun. Much closer than any other object we've sent anywhere near that. So it'll be a good test of their ability to protect it from the heat. It's going to be about 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit when it gets there.
Muggy.
Nice.
Yeah. I think they're definitely interested in various things like solar winds and all that. I don't know if you've seen this recently. There was a thing about the magnetic field that we have around the Earth is changing. Essentially, it's sort of spreading out a bit.
Yeah.
Pushing away all the like space debris we have sitting around the Earth. That's sort of getting pushed out as well.
Don't panic, just for the record. This isn't anything you need to panic about.
It's not like any big change. They're just noticing it's changing a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it'll be interesting to see how this stuff goes. And this is going to be launching next summer.
Yep.
July 31st, 2018 is when they'll have their best shot to get it there as fast as possible. I guess about took about 16 weeks for it to get to the sun.
Yeah. I guess they're going to be taking pictures while they're out there also.
Yeah, it's supposed to fly by Venus about halfway through.
Yeah.
Imagine I'll take plenty of shots of that.
Yeah.
Which is good, because we've gotten a lot of shots from the other direction, but
yeah.
Going in that way. So.
I guess we won't be able to get to Mercury, though, because I'm guessing Mercury's probably not going to be anywhere near it.
No.
I don't think the orbit's going to line up for that.
All right. But, cool science stuff. Mm-hmm. Speaking of more cool science stuff, so in Los Angeles, some MTA workers were doing some excavation for their, you know, their subway system. And as they were excavating, they found some bones. Specifically, they found some ancient elephant bones of not only bison, but also giant sloth.
Yep.
Giant sloth.
Yeah, now keep in mind, this is right around the area where the La Brea tar pits are.
Yeah.
And,
these things
are
called Harlan's ground sloth. It was about 1,500 pounds, 10 feet long. So big, giant fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
lived about 10,000 to 40,000 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, so like I said, this area is known for producing stuff like this.
Yeah.
When they find stuff like this, it's pretty awesome. The fact that we used to have sloths here in America,
which is obviously leads to jokes on the internet about how slow the LA transit system is.
Yep.
Of course.
Look, even the sloths died waiting for the bus.
God damn people.
Oh, well. But, so that, as you said, Slot, that thing was like around 10 feet.
Yeah.
I think that's like longer than the sloths that are still alive, isn't it?
Yeah, those are a couple feet long.
Yeah.
They're not very big.
Nope. Yeah. So, wow. They're
big motherfuckers.
Yeah, so, all right, so next couple of stories have a common theme around them. So, everybody knows this week the Wonder Woman movie came out, and against just about all odds, not only is it a decent flick, it's actually really good.
It's a really good movie, and it's a DC movie.
Yeah. So, you know, and as far as everyone I've talked to, who've seen the movie, the only complaint they have is that things kind of start to fall flat during the last 15 minutes. And a lot of people suggest that was probably the 15 minutes that Zack Snyder did most of his work on. So the movie came out. It's actually good. Which apparently just fucking shocked everybody.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it. At this point, DC doesn't have a really good track record. They had, you know, first they had Man of Steel, which was decent, if divisive. Then they had Batman v Superman, which was quasi-adhesive and even more divisive. And then we had Suicide Squad, which was just a flaming pile.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, we get the Wonder Woman movie, a movie starring a superheroine, I would like to match, so an actual female protagonist.
Yeah, not that since is really, Elektra.
Yeah, not since Elektra have we had a movie like that, and it's really, really good. So, as
especially
you can imagine,
with a female director,
mm-hmm.
which people are trying to shit on the, like, why are you giving it to a female director who's never done anything big? It's like her last movie was 15 years ago, something like that. She won an Oscar.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. That's why you give it to her.
Because like, she has a track record.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're complaining about this, but not about the men who have next to no track record getting all the Marvel and DC movies.
Yeah. I mean, you want to make that complaint, you got to complain about the director of The Empire Strikes Back. Mm. I mean, that dude who directed that was basically a dude who at that point was only known for directing artsy European films.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the guy that's directing the new Thor movie did only New Zealand indie movies.
Yeah.
That's about as obscure as it gets.
And there also, okay, so there was also just, and this is kind of an aside, but I have to bring it up. One of the assholes at Fox News was complaining about the fact that, you know, Wonder Woman, there was barely any mention of the U.S. in the movie because, you know, Wonder Woman's got the red, white, and blue and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know Wonder Woman isn't actually American, right?
She's not even
actually
human.
She's Greek. You know, yes. She's from the Isle of the Amazons, which in DC canon is near Greece. She's Greek. Man. She speaks a dialect of Greek before she learns English.
And she was made of clay.
And she was made of clay, also. But it's just because there's always got to be that one asshole, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so. As everybody, I think we announced this. I think we talked about this last week. There was going to be. Well, no. Actually, this is something else. This was actually for what we were talking about last week was the women's only showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. In relation to that.
Yeah, this actually is in relation to that. So there was this, all right, this really sexist asshole who sent this letter to the who I think I'm not sure if this was actually specifically sent to the mayor or if it was like a
I think it was sent to the mayor.
Okay, so it was.
I think he was essentially complaining to the mayor about what the theater chain did.
Yeah, so he just real quickly, the letter, it said, "I hope every man will boycott Austin and do what he can to diminish Austin and to cause damage to the city's image. The theater that pandered to the sexism typical of women will, I hope, regret its decision. The notion of a woman hero is a fine example of women's eagerness to accept the appearance of achievement without actual achievement. Women learn from an early age to value makeup. That's it, that it's okay to pretend that you are greater than you actually are. Women pretend they do not know that only men serve in combat because they are content to have an easier ride. Women gladly accept gold medals at the Olympics for coming in 10th and competing only against a second class of athletes. Name something invented by a woman." Liquid paper. A lot of things, but anyway, I digress.
This mayor has you covered on that.
Yeah. "Achievements by the second-rate gender pale in comparison to virtually everything great in human history was accomplished by men, not women. If Austin does not host a men-only counter event, I will never visit Austin and will welcome its deterioration. And I will not forget that Austin is best known for Charles Whitman." For those of you who don't know, Charles Whitman was a former Marine who climbed the clock tower of Texas State University in the early 60s with a sniper rifle and killed like 9 people. "Does Austin stand for gender equality or for kissing up to women? Don't bother to respond. I already know the answer. I do not hate women." Really?
Yeah, you kind of do.
"I hate their rampant hypocrisy and the hypocrisy of the quote-unquote women's movement. Women do not want gender equality. They want more for women. Don't bother to respond, because I am sure your cowardice will generate nothing worth reading." Oh, I beg to differ.
Oh, yeah, his name's Dick.
Yeah, oh, Richard A. Amadori. So, Steve Adler, who is the current mayor of Austin, wrote back. Oh boy, are you ready for this? This is a treat. Dear Mr. Amadori, I am writing to alert you that your email account has been packed by an unfortunate and unusually hostile individual. Please remedy your account's security right away, lest this person's uninformed and sexist rantings give you a bad name. After all, we men have to look out for each other. Can you imagine if someone thought that you didn't know women could serve in our combat unions now without exclusion? That is true. What if someone thought you didn't know that women invented medical syringes, life rafts, fire escapes, central and solar heating, a wartime communication system for radio-controlling torpedoes that laid the technological foundation for everything from Wi-Fi to GPS and beer? And I hesitate to imagine how embarrassed you'd be if someone thought you were upset that a private business was realizing a business opportunity by reserving one screening this weekend for women to see a superhero movie. You and I are serious men of substance with little time for the delicate sensitivities displayed by the pitiful creature who maligned your good name and sterling character by writing that abysmal email. I trust the news that your email account has been hacked does not cause you undue alarm and wish you well in securing your account. And in the future, should your travels take you to Austin, please know that everyone is welcome here, even people like those who wrote that email whose views are an embarrassment to modernity, decency, and common sense. Yours sincerely, Steve Adler.
Boom, roasted.
Destroyed.
Yep.
Yeah. And the woman that invented the wartime communication system is Hedy Lamarr.
Yep.
Yep.
Famed actress. So while she was doing movies, she fucking invented Wi-Fi.
Yep. And of course, I mentioned the inventor of liquid paper, who was also the mother of the drummer for the Monkees. Just throwing that out there. Yes, women have invented quite a bit, some of which are damn near the foundations of our modern civilization.
Yeah.
So, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And what I especially love is I am absolutely, absolutely convinced that this asshole thought he was being smart.
Oh, yeah, the way he said he wasn't going to expect any sort of response.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I already know what you're going to say, so don't.
Yeah, because my logic is so flawless.
Wasn't expecting that. I don't.
Even though it has more holes than a perforated, I don't know, something, but something perforated. Something that's perforated has a lot of holes, is what I'm saying.
Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Oh, but in other stories that are kind of sexist and also kind of racist. The nation of Lebanon has actually banned the Wonder Woman movie due to its star Gal Gadot, who is Israeli.
And the amazing thing is that I had the early screening that actually happened before they did this.
Yep.
So it already showed in their country.
Expect pirated versions to show up any minute.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that shit's going to get torrented like you won't believe. But, fuck.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that, honestly, misogyny knows no religion or, you know, ethnicity.
Yeah.
Or border or whatever. Opposite ends of the world, both equally assholes.
Yeah, basically. Right.
But, anyway, so... Finally, to wrap up this week's installment, we have got our trailer roundup with two trailers for two films. The first one is for a film called Logan Lucky.
Yeah, this is the new Steven Soderbergh movie.
Mm-hmm.
It features Channing Tatum, Daniel Craig, and a few other people. It's a heist film set around NASCAR.
Yep.
Essentially, some of these rednecks decide they want to steal some shit at a NASCAR race.
Yeah, it's the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Which is in South Carolina.
Yeah, so...
North Carolina, sorry.
Yeah. Daniel Craig is in jail, and this whole thing seems to start, and so they somehow break him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a good job playing a hick.
Yeah.
He's a very varied actor is Daniel Craig. He can play a lot of different roles.
Come a long way since he was in the original Tomb Raider movie where he's not very good.
Yeah.
Will it be the next Smokey and the Bandit? Probably not, but...
Yeah. It still looks like a fun one, so...
Yeah.
This one I'll watch.
So, anyway, that was the first one. Now
I just like when it starts, it's like, from the director of Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And Magic Mike.
Eight, so. Yeah.
Yes, he also directed Magic Mike.
Yeah.
So, no, you're just making Ocean's 14 South Edition.
And then for the other trailer, we got the trailer for the 2017 version of Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most adapted stories ever.
Yeah, this one has gotten quite a bit of play.
I'm sure there's a bunch of them you can see on Masterpiece Theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was another film made in 1974. For the very few of you who don't know what the plot of Murder on the Orient Express is, it's an Agatha Christie novel. It stars one of her most famous detective characters, Hercule Poirot, a Belgian detective with a ridiculous mustache.
Yes,
that's still there.
Yeah, who is on the Orient Express heading back from a case in Syria when they get stuck in a snowstorm, and then one of the passengers, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Pratchett, is killed, and, you know, Poirot has to find out who the murderer is. The thing about this, though, is that in the Murder on the Orient Express, pretty much everyone on the train has a connection to Mr. Pratchett.
Yeah.
Yep.
And mostly what you also figure out is that, honestly, Mr. Pratchett kind of got what he deserved because he was an asshole.
Yeah,
we'll
go into that. But.
So anyway, the person who's playing Hercule Poirot is also the guy who is the director of the film.
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
Ridley Scott's producing.
Yep.
It's got possibility of being good.
Yeah, the cast is huge. It's got Tom Bateman, Kenneth Branagh, Penelope Cruz, Willem Dafoe, Judi Dench, Johnny Depp, Josh Gad, Derek Jacobi, Leslie Odom Jr., Michelle Pfeiffer, Daisy Ridley, Marwan Kenzari, Olivia Colman, Lucy Boynton, Manuel Garcia Rufo, and Sergei Pulinin.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this is, you know, the original Murder on the Orient Express film in 1974 was a major Oscar winner that year. It won like six. I think it won like six Oscars, and like it kept the. I think that was pretty much the record until Titanic.
Yeah.
And when James Cameron broke it.
Mm.
So this was a movie that was definitely going to get a nice pedigree to go with it.
Yeah.
And it's a nice showcase for many, many styles of mustaches.
Yeah.
Pretty much every guy has some sort of mustache on him.
And I gotta give the cinematography credit too. That one little part towards the end of the trailer where the whole conversation going down the station car.
Yeah.
That was superbly shot.
And scrolling through this, I think Willem Dafoe seems to be the only character without a mustache.
Yeah, he is.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
That's of course also including the women, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't need to say that.
No. Well, but yeah, so I'm pretty sure that it's Johnny Depp who's playing Mr. Pratchett. But
it's a good role for him. He dies early.
Yeah. I think really what's going to be the main obstacle to this film is the fact that most people already know how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really change it too much or it's just going to kind of fall flat.
Yeah.
The only way you could really get away with remaking this movie is to just take the original story and just do it exquisitely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the actual killer of Mr. Pratchett at this point is up there with, like, you know, what was Rosebud in Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it was his sled.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, at least with this, you'll probably get plenty of younger people that haven't read the book.
Well, yeah, that's
that. You just have to hope their parents and grandparents aren't assholes to tell them what happens.
For the record, the actual book isn't terribly long. And it's actually a nice, ripping good read. I recommend it.
Might be a good idea to read it afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. I said that this is one of the most adapted Agatha Christie stories, but it's not the most adapted. Mm-hmm. That record belongs to And Then There Were None, mm-hmm. which has gone through more title changes than I care to count.
Yeah.
Should I explain that one? Okay, I'll explain this one. Okay, so the plot of In There and Then There Were None is that a bunch of people are going to attend this. I think it's like a party or a summit or something at this sort of lone island with a mansion on it somewhere off the coast of England, and basically one by one, all the people in the house are killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is that, you know, the whole title, And Then There Were None, is like, you know, and then there were nine, there was like nine people, and then there was, no, there was 10 people, and then there was nine people, and then there was eight, and eventually, and then there were none.
Hmm.
That's not what the original title was. because the original sort of nursery rhyme that bases the whole story around, today we call it 10 Little Indians. That's not what it was called back then. It involved the N-word, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly.
So as you can expect, that particular story has gone through four or five different name changes in its existence. But with that, I do believe we have a show, folks. So I would like to remind our viewers that, well, I say viewers, like you're listening to us with your eyes. Do I look pretty?
Gorgeous.
If you think I look pretty or not, or if you have other things you would like us, other questions you would like us to answer, or have something you want us to read on the air, have any suggestions, comments, blah, 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 you can actually get in touch with us through letsweekenders@gmail.com. I repeat, that is letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of iTunes, you can also listen to our little cast on TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, and just about every other format in existence. I think at this point you could actually hear us on your fucking toaster oven, but
yeah.
If you hear us on your toaster oven, it might be malfunctioning.
Yeah, or you know, you might. Or you might want to seek help, one of those three. But anyway, so with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi, I would like to say good night, sleep tight, we're sorry, world.